Good morning and welcome back to the show. Hoping you're all having a wonderful Thursday as you drink your coffee, head into work, and now listen to me rant about the state of the country. Rant is really an informal word, but it really describes best on how I've been feeling lately, especially with the story coming out of Washington State. Seattle Public Schools cite equity in shutting down gifted program with majority white and Asian students. This article coming to us from the Daily Wire, the school board voted to scrap its highly capable cohort program in 2020 after a 2018 survey found that only 30.7% of participating students were Hispanic and 1.6% were black. Meanwhile, 11.8% were Asian and the majority were white. Numbers would suggest that within our city, predominantly white children are more gifted than other cultures and races, and we know that's absolutely not true, Carrie Hansen, the district's director of student support services, told ParentMap in 2018. Clearly, we're not identifying our children of color, and we need to get down to why. The district began phasing out the gifted program in 2021 to 2022 school year, and it will be gone entirely by the 2027 to 2028 school year. Continuing, the program is not going away. It's getting better, school officials said on the district website. It will be more inclusive, equitable, and culturally sensitive. My apologies. I know that was a lot, but I wanted to paint the picture here for you. Washington State cares about inclusion over the kids. Like all things, the left will make the claim that this is for the good of the kids. The fact of the matter is, if the school was 70% black or 70% Hispanic or a combination of the two, there would be no issues. It is 70% white and Washington State hates that. This is not like it's disproportional to the city though. 64% of Seattle is white, 16% is Asian, and a combined roughly 14% to make up the black and Hispanic. But we have to be more inclusive. Could the program reach out to parents in general, promote the program better? I'm not one to say, that's not the point here. Like always, the left brings a person's identity down to their race, and that is all that matters to them. That is all that will matter to them. Well, I guess sexual orientation might take the cake. I'm Pierce Crawford, and welcome to the Crawford Press. Before moving too quickly off of the initial story, I wanted to add this piece from the Seattle Times, reported on from the New York Post. Under the new program, dubbed the Highly Capable Neighborhood School Model, teachers will be required to come up with individualized learning programs for all 20 to 30 of their students, a task which they argue they do not have the time or the resources as the district faces a $104 million budget deficit. I really feel bad for the teachers of this program who genuinely want to help these kids, but you picked the wrong state to teach in. Individualized learning programs for every single student is just not possible as a workload. I believe this new program will fall apart very quickly with teachers and parents backing out. But only time will tell. Unfortunate for the kids, though. The DOJ sues Utah for allegedly discriminating against a transgender inmate. This report is from the Office of Public Affairs itself. Quote, the Justice Department filed a lawsuit today against the state of Utah, including the Utah Department of Corrections, alleging violations of the Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA, for discriminating against incarcerated transgender women on the basis of her disability, gender dysphoria. The department's complaint alleges that the UDOC failed to provide the complainant equal access to health care services after she reportedly requested hormone therapy and also failed to make reasonable modifications to its policies and practices to treat her gender dysphoria. And I'm not changing her to he just for the sake of the article back and forth. The article says her, so that's where I'm going with. Before filing this lawsuit, the department gave UDOC written notice of its findings and an outline of re-medical measures necessary to address them. Gender dysphoria is a serious medical condition marked by clinically significant distress caused by an incongruence between the sex of an individual as assigned at birth and their gender identity. Left untreated, individuals with gender dysphoria can experience serious adverse mental health outcomes. People with gender dysphoria, including those held in jails and prisons, are protected by the Americans with Disabilities Act and are entitled to equal access to medical care just like anyone else with disability, said Assistant Attorney General Kristen Clark of the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division. Delays or refusals to provide medical treatment for people with gender dysphoria can cause irreparable harm, including debilitating distress, depression, attempts at self-treatment, and even death by suicide. The Civil Rights Division is committed to protecting the rights of all people with disabilities in our country, including those who experience gender dysphoria, and those rights are not given up at the jailhouse door. What about the rights of the female inmates to not be placed with a male? I think that piece is often overlooked. I mean, remember the quote transgender woman who moved to an all women's prison in New Jersey and impregnated two actual female inmates. There needs to be a clear standard of who goes into the women's jail and who goes into the men's jail. Maybe we should use the standard called your biological sex. I really would like to know the answer to these two questions, though. Is the Biden DOJ publicly admitting that gender dysphoria is a real thing again, and men are men and women are women? Or is it just this convenient to use the case to try and place it under the ADA? Clearly, it is the latter. The administration that celebrates Transgender Awareness Day and probably the other 145 calendar days that celebrate LGBT, this is just a sneaky way to get in. Being, quote, transgender is not recognized under the ADA, but gender dysphoria is. So there's the loophole for you. And before someone says, well, this is not about him going into the women's jail, this is about getting treatment. So you want, you want the taxpayers to pay for this man to transition into a woman. Yeah, I'm sorry. That's not where my money's going. Moving on, man, we just got a whole gender dysphoria type day, don't we? The North Face sponsors LGBT overnight camp for 12 to 17 year olds, where they are allowed to perform drag, have gender affirming care, and explore their sexuality. All of our housing is genderless, bathrooms are genderless, we ask for names and pronouns from campers, and they can change them all they like. Kayla Weisbunch, one of the founders of the camp, said on the Kelly Clark Show. The North Face sponsoring this doesn't really surprise me at all. They have leaned into the left agenda full steam ahead with no clear path of stopping. This is their choice, and I stopped giving them my money and donated the rest of what I had from them a long time ago. And I will not be supporting the company. I will not be wearing anything from that company. The real ticker here is youth LGBT camps. According to the Daily Wire investigation, Camp Brave Trails is just one of many overnight camps marketed specifically towards children who identify as LGBT. The Daily Wire investigation found that similar camps operate across the country, with some accepting children as young as 4 years old. The Trans Youth Equality Foundation, an organization that encourages children to wear binders, hosts a youth camp for transgender non-binary children in a confidential location in New England, where children as young as 7 years old may attend. Camp Indigo, a program with locations in California and Colorado that is only open to those who identify as transgender or non-binary, teaches children as young as 12 years old about trans history and trans-focused sex education. There's a ton of other camps that the Daily Wire lists, and I won't say every single one, but this is the issue that really separates the left from the right ideology. Children do not understand sex. They mimic their surroundings, their environments, their home, their school life. I mean, the idea behind gender-affirming care is just a joke. And the point is to affirm whatever they say is true. Why kids are allowed to change their pronouns on a dime in these camps is because every day is a new day. Why not be a zer? This is just parenting and society has failed these kids. This is sexualizing them at their expense. People get offended because I won't use their pronouns, believe in their fantasy, and that this will cause some physical harm. If there is someone threatening your life unprovoked, I 100% will defend you from that. This is a conversion of ideas. But if you're mad at me for that, if you're mad at me for not accepting the lie, if you're mad at me for not ruining the future generation, the human race, and trying to prevent from you ruining it, I will not apologize for that. I simply won't. Final story of today. Taiwan's strongest earthquake in 25 years kills 9 and injures at least 1,011 others on Wednesday. According to the New York Times, the magnitude 7.4 quake was followed by more than 200 aftershocks. The earthquake was so strong that it set off a tsunami warning in Japan, China, and the Philippines. 71 people were trapped in two mining areas, 14,000 households were without water, and 1,000 without power. Our prayers are 100% with Taiwan. I pray for their families who lost loved ones, as these tragedies are never fun to report. I hope China and the United States will put aside political differences and actually aid Taiwan in rebuilding if they request it. There's really not much more to say, but we'll keep you posted if anything else changes with it. That is all the time we have for today, though. Thank you so much for listening to the Crawford Press, and be sure to follow the show on your preferred podcasting platform. I'm Pierce Crawford, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless.